A very warm welcome, everyone, to yet another episode of Women's Wisdom Through Ages, a podcast where we celebrate success stories of some inspiring women across various industries and ages. If you're thinking this doesn't sound like our host, Catherine, at all, and she definitely doesn't look like Catherine, well, then you're in for a surprise today. My name is Ishani Nigam, and I am your host for today. I am an ardent believer of self and community empowerment, and that is exactly how I cross my paths with Catherine, as she believes in the same. But the tables have turned today, so please join me in welcoming our guest speaker, who's an author, a loving teacher, a determined life coach, and founder of Imagineering to a Better World venture, which provides life and business consulting and coaching services. Yes, you guessed it right. It's none other than your host turned guest speaker for today, Miss Catherine Ellis. Welcome to the show, Catherine.
Thank you so much, Ishani. And also, I just want to let people know to say thank you and welcome to Ishani, because Ishani is our new intern. So she's been with us now for about a month, and it's just been awesome. And she's already just adding so much value. So thank you so much. And this was Ishani's idea, which is awesome.
Thank you so much for that lovely introduction. Okay, now before we dive into this interesting conversation with Catherine today, I would like to highlight the very reason that we have Catherine as a guest as opposed to a host. Because we want to get to know Catherine a bit more closer. She has talked about her childhood, her life, in bits and pieces throughout her podcast so far. But we will get to know the woman who has made this show, where she invites successful women through ages, and she gives a platform to all of them to inspire you and to make you better and the best version of yourself. So, Catherine, in today's episode, we will touch upon success, the buzzword success, but it's not the flowery side that we're looking at. And it's not just the tip of the iceberg that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about a much more deeper concept of success, what builds success, and in particular, what builds your success. Mm-hmm. So in order to understand your present story, let us provide a context to our listeners. I would like to take us a few steps back and time travel into your childhood days. Mm-hmm. So tell us, where did you spend your childhood, and what kind of people or thoughts were you surrounded with while you were growing up?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So as I was growing up, I had in some ways the most idyllic childhood. It was awesome. Had a small family, one brother, one sister, wonderful mum and dad. Didn't seem really to have any issues. I can remember being really little, and even with our extended family, we used to see our extended family a lot, and we used to play tennis and be at the beach and go camping and all of these wonderful things. But my fondest memories are actually reading the Bible. I didn't even grow up Christian, but my favorite book was the illustrated Bible for children. And every night I would just be, you know, just ravenous for the stories about, you know, King David or Jesus or Moses. And yet, like I said, I didn't grow up Christian, but I loved that book. And I'm just so grateful for that, because I did come back to that foundation later in life. But I think that really set me up for success. So, yeah, that was just wonderful. And just books in general as well as being outside and playing and family and all those wonderful things. So, and I'm very aware that other people don't have that. So, yeah, I'm very grateful, especially to my parents for that.
Yeah, it's really nice to know that you had a nice childhood. Not, as you just mentioned, not everyone kind of goes through that. Mm-hmm. So, yes, that's interesting to know. Now, let's just go a few years in kind of like fast forward, and let's understand that while you were growing up and like when you reach your teens, you reach your high school, that is a very turbulent time for a lot of us. And I wanted to know that, did you have some kind of fears or challenges? What were you going through at that point of time?
Mm. Okay, primary school was lovely. Primary school was great. I had wonderful teachers. I was, you know, I had lots of friends. I was even head girl and head of the sports faction and everything. And then I got to high school. And oh my gosh, it was like, what the saying is, like a small fish in a big pond. So you go from the one to the other, and it was extreme for me. And it was, there was a lot of bullying at high school. And I think, so that had to teach me a lot of things that, you know, that you need to have the people close around you. You need to be able to rely on them. And especially for young people, if your friends are getting bullied, quite often you don't know what to do. So it's not anything against other people that perhaps weren't there. And I did have people to come, and I've actually written a children's book, which hasn't been published, but that actually is partly inspired from my own experience. And so I did have someone who came to help, and then they, you know, brought in other people to help, but that was big. So that was probably my biggest challenge. Was I was still good, you know, I wasn't an overly fantastic student at primary school, but in high school where we had the streaming, so I was much better at school. But obviously, and I started work very early, you know, when I was, you know, even 12, but we'll come onto that later. But yeah, the bullying did cover. So it was like, in one way, life was going along fantastic, but in another way, there was many, many challenges.
I completely resonate with that. Like, I'm sorry to hear about that, but I think that is a pattern that most of us go through. Yeah. Even I think to say so, I had a very lovely childhood as well. But the time I entered in my high school, and things were not that great, and I also faced the same situation. So I think people who are listening to us right now, people of that age or who have kind of passed that age, they will understand what you're trying to talk about maybe. But that's this whole show about today, like to face our fears, to know what all we went through before we reached the success.
Yes.
So I think you just mentioned about your very first job that you started quite early. Let us just kind of talk a bit about that. Usually when people want their first job, they want it to be their dream job or to be the big job. So how did you secure your first job firstly? Was it your dream job?
Well, even before I had my first job, my parents had their own business at home. So we were always helping with the business anyway at home. So in my case, that was counting little washer things for an engineering business, or counting O-rings, things like that. So we always worked as a team, which again, I'm so grateful for. But my first job, because I looked much older, especially at 12, I probably looked more like 16. So I didn't lie about my age, but in those days, you didn't have to fill in all the forms and everything like you do now. And so it was at a general store. So that was started off at the school holidays. And then I was there for 5.5 years and I loved it. It was with friends. We did everything from serving people, serving ice creams, making hamburgers, pumping petrol, bagging vegetables. And it was at this beautiful place in Gilderton, which is or Moore River, which is just north of Perth. And it was just wonderful. So that was, I absolutely loved it. And I remember I was the first time being a shift boss when I just turned 18. I'd already been there for 5 or 5.5 years by that time. And that was just, like I said, I just loved it, had lots of friends, got to know so many different people. And I think sometimes when you're in things so young, it just becomes second nature. So if people complained about a hamburger or something, you knew, oh, look, I'm really sorry. Can I help? And obviously we had amazing bosses, that they were just wonderful. And we were given a lot of leeway. Like, we used to have fun. You know, we wouldn't be able to get away with it now. We even used to have sometimes even out the back either food fights or water fights. And I'm not suggesting you do that at all, and definitely not in Macca's or anything. Yeah. But it was just a different time. So I wouldn't necessarily say it was my dream job. Back then, I probably didn't think about a dream job, even though I've always thought about writing. But like I said, I loved it.
Yeah, I think it's quite lovely because I think the person that you are right now, very selfless, very giving. I mean, I since the time I've started working with you. That's what I kind of feel about you. And I think I can see that where it is coming from, even that nature of kind of giving to anyone that you come across. I think it's your experiences in life and actually very early on that kind of shaped your mind. So, yeah, it's very interesting to know. Now, I'm going to ask you a question that might be a bit difficult for you to answer in a few words, or maybe you can just answer that however you like it. So, I wanted to know, what were your greatest learnings, fears, or anyone who really impacted you in the first two decades of your professional journey?
Okay, so professional journey. So I would say, like, that starts when you're really young. So again, I had wonderful teachers, which was just amazing. I had a couple of not so great teachers, but on the whole, wonderful teachers. And I think sometimes, especially once you hit the workplace, that you can have good bosses and not good bosses, and you can learn a lot from both of them. And so, and again, sometimes I think I was always aware of bullying because I had been bullied. And so I would try and, you know, stick up for people. And I think that's what you're talking about with the empathy, because if you've been through something, you're more likely, you know, to help other people. But I'm just trying to think. So the first two decades, I went back to uni. I did go to college straight from school, but then I left. And with my family back then, it seemed to be that I was the only person going on to to post-secondary education. So sometimes people did night school or different things. And I think maybe a couple of my cousins went, but I don't know if they finished it then. And so from my recall, and this might not be right, but I felt like I was the first one in my extended family to go on to do, you know.
Congratulations for that.
Well, I didn't finish. I didn't finish because people didn't really, in my family, it was like, well, you don't really need to do that. And, you know, my parents only went to school till they were 14. So I was working. I had five jobs when I was at school. I was working when I was at school, and I had businesses when I was at school as well. And then when I was at uni, I had five jobs. And I mean, some of them were tutoring, which was my own business, but in other ones, I was working at a video shop, I was working at the general store, I was working for my parents, and so I was very busy. So I did probably, I don't know, 30 hours a week or 40 hours a week even, or maybe not that much, maybe 20 or 30 hours a week working on top of studying full time. So I ended up with glandular fever. Sorry,
I was just very fascinated to hear that. I mean, that's like you're kind of a super machine, like working.
So I obviously I couldn't sustain that. So I only did the first 18 months, and then I got glandular fever. And I did go back to uni a few years later. So that was, so that was challenging.
I was just kind of very, very interested to know. So while going through your childhood and your teenage, you had a certain idea, you were growing with certain people, I think you've worked at numerous places, and I'm sure you have very interesting stories to tell us. What I'm wanting to exactly know, were there any situations wherein you were like, you were stuck, you felt that you felt inferior to someone, and the person made you feel inferior, or you felt that I cannot go on with this anymore in my life, you know, I don't want to do this.
First of all, I'd just like to say that people who think you can't get rid of bullying, no, bullying happens probably more so in the workplace. And, you know, and there's all sorts of reasons for that. And so it's always a challenge. And I think you have to have, obviously it's much easier if you have encouraging people, supportive people around you. And I have had that at times, but then at other times I've had no one around to help. And so it can be so, 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 so difficult. But I did have, some jobs were great. So quite often in my background, I took, for example, a year's contract, or even with my business earlier, like in my 20s, I used to do a lot of business consulting, especially for small businesses. And so I might take over the running of the business for a year, for example, and then I would set up policies and procedures and just, you know, cut down the expenses, and then it increases sales and do marketing and different things. But so I've had a lot of experience, but also I always studied and worked, or I always worked and did business. So that, going back when I was younger, I used to work 60, 80 hours a week. So 60 hours a week was a holiday. But I'm not saying that I don't agree with that. That was just probably wrong thinking. But there was, you know, there was some positives. I was had, you know, my first ongoing management position in my mid-20s, which was great. So it's, yeah. So, but with the bullying, I think you have to change your own attitude. So I can remember one time, which was probably only in the last 10 or 15 years, and I had, I won't give too many details, but I had some people who were in a position more so external to what my actual job was, but that were exerting a particular type of pressure. And it got to the stage where, and I think part of it sometimes is when people, like, especially if you're perceived to know a little bit more, or sometimes it can be even your own self thinking you're better than other people, even though you don't realize it at the time. Yeah. And so sometimes, especially when you're older and you realize that your learning has to continue. So say, for example, you become a teacher, or you become a financial advisor, or a doctor, but you have to keep registrations. You have to keep training. And sometimes it gets exhausting. It's like, oh my gosh, I did that 20 years ago at uni, or I did that 10 years ago, or how many times do we have to revisit this? So our attitude can be not very good. And so that, if you, one of my favorite sayings is, I think it's arrogance or pride comes before a fall. And so, and I find that if you choose not to be humble, it's like you will be humiliated. Absolutely. And so that's when you come back down. And so sometimes it's been my own attitude, because I'd learned some, so especially teaching, I've done so many different types of teaching and tutoring and training and different countries and different qualifications. And so sometimes I have been in that situation where I have done that 20 years ago, and so my attitude wasn't very good. But one thing that I made sure I did do is, even if I was in a meeting with two or three other people who were really almost aggressive toward me, I would just, I might be shaking inside, but I would just fold my hands or something on the desk, and I'd say, look, I'm not really comfortable with where this meeting is headed, so I'm just going to leave now, and we can continue this when you're calm. And then I would walk out. And because sometimes people, especially when they're doing the wrong things and you're picking them up for doing the wrong things, and they don't like it. But other times, like I said, it could be, sometimes it has been my attitude which needed, you know. So I'm not saying that I was perfect at all. But with the bullying, we also have to remember that sometimes our own behaviour can be part of it, that we think we know so much. So especially, I think, when you're really young, you think, oh, this is the way that it should be. Or maybe you've learned something last week, and then it's like, well, why doesn't everybody else know that? Uh-huh. And so we can come on so strong, especially when we're younger, whereas when you get older, you realize, oh, I didn't know that, but then I learned that, so I'm really glad I did. But quite often, if people are bullying, it's because of insecurities in their own life. And so I'll just give you an example. I had somebody who basically, it was like every time she saw me, she would almost like be a two-year-old. She would, her face would get bright red, and she'd be like, And I would just be determined that I would just say, I would want to be saying something positive to her every day, because I just refused to play that game. That was just, I wasn't interested in that. And I would never say anything that wasn't true. But if she had on a nice top, and she walked past me. I'm like, no, I'm determined to crack this. And I would be, I really like that top you have on today. But I would make sure that I was doing it from a genuine place, because I didn't want to be caught up in her own dramas of what was happening in her life. And but that was really difficult, because sometimes, especially when you're bullied in the workplace, they could even come against your competencies or things like that. And I never had anybody succeed in doing that, because I've just made sure that I've kept good records, that I've made sure that I've done the right, you know, done the right things. But bullying is something that is around, and I believe it's something that we need to overcome. And if we have a really good self-identity in who we are, then we can overcome that. But like I said, if we have people who are encouraging and supportive around us, it makes life so much easier. And a lot of people don't have that. So, yeah, I'm aware of that too.
I think you made some great points over there. And before I can say anything, I would first like to really appreciate that you took the courage and, you know, kind of shared your story with all of us listening to us today as well. The time that we're dealing with right now and like in your life is like 20s and 30s, which is a very difficult time in all of our lives. And if you are in that age right now, whoever is listening to us or watching us, I'm sure you must have gone through or felt the same, that what we're discussing right now, what Catherine has taken through us. And bullying is a topic that has come up in our conversation today a lot. And I would like to say, if you are going through that, it is a very sensitive and very, very difficult issue to deal with. So please seek out for help if you are in that phase right now. And another few points that you mentioned over here, Catherine, is that, you know, the self-reflection, it comes at that age, at that very early age, that you are also at fault and you should agree and kind of, you know, rectify your mistakes. It is very good, like, if you can do that at point of time. And also often, like, when it also depends on your reaction. If you do not pick on someone, if someone is doing wrong with you and not do not pick on that person will keep doing wrong with you. So thank you so much, Catherine, for sharing your life story with us about your childhood, your fears, your first job, and the difficulties that you've gone through with such honesty and clarity. I'm sure our listeners and everyone who's watching us today will at some point resonate with that. And I want you all to understand this, that our past can never define a present. So don't carry that burden. And moreover, we are not done yet. We have just understood Catherine's background, where she comes from, what she thinks, how she is, but we're yet to discuss some more interesting stuff about her venture and what difficulties she faced in her professional life ahead, and also talk a little bit about her books. So stay tuned for the next episode.